بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله، أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, in the closing verses of Surah Al-Hashr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes two states that a human being may find himself in. The first state is described by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through a commandment that Allah issues to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs us, He exhorts us, not only in this ayah, but many verses of the Quran, that we should constantly enter into the state, remain in the state. And those who are in the state, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised them many things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised them His closeness. Allah has promised them His help. Allah has promised them His love. Allah has promised them success in dunya and akhirah. And that is a state of taqwa, Allah consciousness. The second state that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes is the opposite of that, which you and I refer to as ghafla, a state of heedlessness. We are entering, or we have already entered, that time of the year where we find many people are easily consumed by, and many people are easily slipping into a state of ghafla, heedlessness, because of the environment around them. The environment is one that is promotelessness. It is promoting vice. It is an environment that is promoting sin, violation of the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is important for us as to remain in the state of taqwa and Allah consciousness. And we should take necessary measures to ensure that we do not slip into a state of ghafla and heedlessness. Because the worst state a person can ever find himself in is a state of ghafla, heedlessness, being unaware of Allah, unaware of the commandments of Allah, trivializing the commandments of Allah, and becoming completely oblivious of one's duties and responsibilities as a Muslim, as a human being, and as a slave and a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the verses in Surah Al-Hashr, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of these two states that insan may find himself in, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu taqullah. O you who have brought iman. This expression is used in the Quran up to 90 times, approximately 90 times in the Quran. Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu. O you who have brought iman. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, he says that whenever you hear this, when Allah is addressing you by this expression, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, he says, then listen attentively. Because either Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is issuing a commandment, something that you must carry out and fulfill, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is issuing a prohibition, something that you must abstain from and something that you must stay away from. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, O you who have brought iman, ittaqullah. Develop the taqwa of Allah. Remain in a state of Allah consciousness. Be aware of Allah. And be fearful of violating the commandments of Allah. Ittaqullah. And then immediately after Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ. One of the ways through which we can remain in the state of taqwa and avoid slipping into a state of ghafla, regardless of the environment around us, whichever time of the year it may be, whichever place we may be in, whether it is the month of Ramadan or it is the festive season at the end of the year, whether we are in Al-Haramain, Al-Sharifain, or wherever in the world we may find ourselves. What is one of the most effective ways of remaining in the state of Allah awareness, Allah mindfulness, Allah consciousness, and not slipping into a state of ghafla and heedlessness? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, immediately after instructing us to remain in a state of taqwa and Allah consciousness, Allah issues a second instruction that makes us realize what is one of the most effective ways of remaining in the state of Allah consciousness. وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ. Allah says, let every one of you carefully consider what he has advanced and what he has sent forth for the next day. For the next day, referring to the Akhirah. Referring to the Akhirah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this particular ayah, when he describes the Akhirah, when he describes your departure from this world and your transition into the next world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it as al-ghad. What does ghad mean? Ghad means the next day. Allama Alusi rahimahullah, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the term ghad, the next day, tomorrow, to describe akhirah, to describe your meeting with Malakul Maut, to describe your experience in the qabr. That is ghad, that is the next day. Why does Allah use ghad? He says, because that is how close it is to you. You do not realize it, you think it is far away from you. But your meeting with Allah and your entry into the qabr and your moving into the next realm is as close to you as the next day. So this is one of the most effective ways of remaining in a state of Allah consciousness before engaging in that event or before participating in any celebration or before attempting to give in to the temptation or the invitation. Ask yourself the question that, what will become of me tomorrow? Tomorrow in Akhirah, what will this deed serve towards my Akhirah in terms of the next day? And what if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows me to experience maut and death at that particular time, in that particular place, and in that particular state? And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَكْثِرُوا هَذِمَ اللَّذَّاتِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, excessively remember the destroyer of desires and temptations, that death. And that is one of the most effective ways. Really, if a person is tempted to do something, it's that time of the year, there are no restrictions, a person has traveled to a different part of the world, he is out of his community, he is out of his society, he is far away from a community who knows him and who interacts with him. So in terms of worldly impediments, in terms of any societal hindrances, nothing remains. There's absolutely nothing that stops him from committing that which his nafs entices him to do. At that point, a person must think of maut, death, and see immediately what effect it has on the desire to fulfill and to give in to the demand of the temptation. أَكْثِرُوا هَذِمَ اللَّذَّاتِ. Think about the next day. Think about the next day. And instantly one will find that the desire to commit that sin or the desire to fulfill the temptation, that is immediately subdued by the often remembrance of death. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَالْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ. Carefully consider what you have advanced and what you have sent forth for tomorrow. Wattaqullah. For a second time, Allah emphasizes the point. Why does Allah emphasize the point? To denote the urgency. The urgency of the matter and the urgency that is required in terms of you wanting to remain in a state of Allah consciousness and avoid slipping into a state of ghafla and heedlessness. Wattaqullah. Inna Allah khabirun bima ta'amalu. Allah reminds you that Allah is fully aware of all that you do, whatever good you do, however small it may seem, how insignificant it may be, or whatever crime you commit, whatever violation you commit, whatever sin or whatever vice you may perpetrate, as minor as you may consider it to be, or as major as it may really be, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of it. People will not come to know about it, but Allah is khabir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about it. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the deception of the eyes, the transgression of the eyes. Allah knows what is contained within the hearts and within the bosoms. That is the state of Allah consciousness that is required during this period, no matter where we may be. But that is the state of consciousness, and that is the state of Allah mindfulness and awareness that will help us restrain the nafs from fulfilling its desires. Then Allah speaks of the second state, because that is the one state, the state of taqwa and Allah consciousness, the state that we would want to be in and remain in, regardless of the time, regardless of the event, regardless of the circumstance, regardless of the place we may be in. That is the state you want to be in. Which is the state you want to avoid, slip into? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهِ. Don't ever be like those who forgot Allah. Ghafla, heedlessness, is referred to in this ayah as the state of nisyan. Nisyan means to forget. Don't ever forget Allah. Don't ever forget Allah. Mufassireen explained, don't ever forget what is demanded from you by Allah in that particular situation. Don't ever forget Allah. No matter what pressure is put on you, no matter who is asking you to do what it is that they want you to do, don't ever be like those who forget Allah. Don't ever slip into that state of nisyan, forgetfulness, ghafla, heedlessness. And notice the expression here. There it was a do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, enter into a state of taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, become Allah conscious. Here Allah did not say, do not forget Allah. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not be like those who forget Allah. Very often, we enter into a state of ghafla by the environment around us, by seeing how others who forgot Allah, who are deprived of iman, who are deprived of the guidance from the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, very often emulating them, looking at them, envying them, following them, causes us to forget Allah. That's why Allah says, لَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهِ. Allah did not say, you don't forget Allah. Allah says, don't be like them. Emulating them, following them, engaging in the activities in which they engage in, the celebrations in which they engage in, the festivals and so on and so forth that they engage in. That's going to cause you to slip into a state of ghafla and heedlessness. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهِ. What is the outcome, the natural outcome? When you forget Allah, when you slip into that state of ghafla and heedlessness, as we said earlier, it's the worst state that an insan, that a person can ever slip into. What happens? The natural outcome, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهِ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Because they forgot Allah, Allah made them forget themselves. You lose yourself. You lose yourself to the environment. You lose yourself to whatever is presented and whatever is offered before you. You completely forget yourself you lose yourself totally to the demands of the environment at that particular point. Why? Because you forgot what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted of you in that particular situation. How do we avoid slipping into the state of ghafla, especially during this time of the year when many of us are on holiday, many of us are traveling to different parts of the world, and many of us will be exposed to environments, willingly or unwillingly, voluntarily or involuntarily. How do we avoid slipping into the state of nisyan, the state of forgetfulness, the state of heedlessness? And this applies to every situation, not only during this time of the year, but it is more so needed and required during this time of the year, where sometimes a person has even no intention, absolutely no intention of committing a certain vice, but in that moment, and because of that celebration, and because of the participation in a particular event or festivity or whatever it may be, a person in that moment forgets Allah, and then he forgets himself, and he loses himself to the environment completely. So there are lessons for us to learn from the youth who took refuge in the cave. Suratul Kahf, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has encouraged its recitation every Friday. And Suratul Kahf, it speaks about a group of youth. They were 7 in number. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the difficulty they had, the difficulty of the environment. And they were youth who came from a very affluent background. They belonged to the royal families of the region in which they lived. There are differences of opinion where they lived and where they existed and where the cave is found and so on and so forth. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the mechanism that they used in order to secure themselves, to protect themselves from the environment around them. It was at the end of the year or the beginning of the year when the community were engaged in their festivities and their celebrations. Out into an open plain, into an open field, and there they would engage in all types of shirk and idol worship, and they would break almost every commandment of Allah. We find that today happening at the end of the year, beginning of the new year. It is that one night in which there is a mass violation of the commandments of Allah. There is no other night in the year wherein commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are violated as they are violated on that particular night. And that's why on that night in particular, engage in more ibadah than you would engage on any other night. Not because it is a big night, not because it is a big night, it is a night wherein the entire world is in a state of ghafla. Almost everyone is in a state of ghafla. Imagine on that night, when everyone is in a state of ghafla, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finds you in a state of taqwa. Allah finds you with the Quran, Allah finds you with salah, Allah finds you in dhikr, Allah finds you in dua. That act of ibadah is far, far greater than any other act of ibadah that you could perform. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prescribed a dhikr for us when we enter into the souq, when we enter into the marketplace, or when you enter into a shopping center, or you enter into a mall. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, make this dhikr, la ilaha illallah wahdahu, la sharika lahu, له الملك وله الحمد يحيي وهو حي لا يموت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير. Allah gives you 1 million hasanat. You get the reward of 1 million hasanat. Allahu Akbar, you recited it once. It does not even take you a minute to recite this dhikr. But Allah gives you 1 million good deeds credited to your account. Why 1 million? Because you are in an environment of ghafla. Everyone in that environment is distracted by dunya, and here in that environment of ghafla, you remembered Allah. Allah gives you 1 million good deeds. Now imagine on that night, you have a youngster, you have a youth who had the opportunity to be at a particular party, at a particular celebration, at a particular display of fireworks, wherever it may be in the world. He has the opportunity, nothing stops him, nothing prevents him, but he remains in his chalet, or he remains in his hotel room, or he remains in the masjid, or he remains in his house, engaged in the ibadah of Allah. Wallahi, Allah will fill your heart with nur. So these youngsters, seven of them, Allah placed a sense of realization in their hearts on that night when this New Year party was taking place. And one by one, what did they do? They moved away from that environment. That's the first thing. To avoid slipping into a state of ghafla, heedlessness, forgetfulness, unmindfulness, the first thing I must do is ensure that I am in the right environment. I should not be in an environment that will tempt me and that will encourage me to slip into that state of heedlessness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first don't that was issued to Adam and Hawa, today a nikah will be taking place. After the nikah of Adam and Hawa alayhim as-salam took place, Allah issued two do's and one don't. It's very important for us to pay attention to these do's and the don'ts. Today we'll speak about the don't because of the time and because it pertains to our topic. It's a very important don't that we should consider, because this is the first don't that is issued to the human race in general and the couple in particular. What was it? لا تقربا هذه الشجرة. Don't you two ever go near this tree. Do not go near the tree. Adam alayhi salam, when he went near the tree, did he break the commandment of Allah? No. Was he expelled from Jannah when he went near the tree? No. But the instruction was, don't go near the tree. Why put yourself in that situation where you will be tempted to slip into a state of ghafla? He obviously did not immediately go to the tree and pick the fruit and eat it. No. He must have went close to the tree, looked at the tree, studied the tree, came back the next day, went even closer to the tree, came back the next day, he must have touched the tree. He still didn't break the commandment of Allah. He must have climbed the tree. He still didn't break the commandment of Allah. But when he ate the fruit, that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, go down, you are expelled. The lesson for you and I, what is that tree in my life that I know from past experience, when I go near that tree, whether it is company, whether it is a certain place, whether it is a certain friend of mine, whoever it may be, when I go near that tree, I know I will slip and I will fall. لا تقربا هذه. Don't go near the tree. Why go even near it when you know you do not have the strength to restrain yourself and you can easily slip in that moment, trip, fall, and then you're into that state of ghafla. And coming out of a state of ghafla is extremely difficult. It's not impossible, but it's very difficult to come out of that state of ghafla, heedlessness. And it takes a moment for one to slip into that state. One night, one moment. And one can forget Allah and then forget himself and lose himself to the environment and the demands of the environment in that particular situation. So that's number one. The youth, what did they do? The seven of them, they moved away from that environment. They sat under a tree. They found a height, find a cave. Your cave is the masjid. Your cave is the Quran. Your cave is your home. Find a cave on that night, whichever night it may be, on that occasion, whichever occasion it may be, on that event, whichever event it may be. You may displease somebody, but you are pleasing Allah, and that's all that matters. لا طاعة لمخلوقٍ في معصية الخالق. Others around me may be displeased. Others around may taunt you. Others around you may be upset with you. But that is irrelevant. If Allah is pleased with you, regardless of who is displeased with you, it does not matter. لَا طَاعَةَ لِمَخْلُوقٍ فِي مَعْصِيَةِ الْخَالِقِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, don't ever, ever obey anyone in the disobedience of Allah. Give preference to what Allah has chosen for you, and you will become the chosen one of Allah. So that's the first thing. Allah particularly mentions about them. I'tizal. They avoided the places of temptation. Number two, they make dua. Make dua to Allah. If you're serious about not falling into a state of ghafla, ask Allah to fortify you during that journey, during your trip, during your holiday, during your outing. Before leaving, make the dua. What did they say? فَقَالُوا رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِن لَّدُنكَ رَحْمَةً. They were involved, or they were in an environment of sin and vice, and they came from the royal families of the area, so even their family members wanted them to engage in those activities. They knew they could not do it on their own without Allah. So they made the dua. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِن لَّدُنكَ رَحْمَةً. Oh Allah, we want a special form of mercy. We need it. We cannot do it on our own. We can never rely on our own level of spirituality, piety, religiosity, and righteousness. Ask Allah to protect you, to fortify you. Rasulullah himself, before going on a journey, one of the du'as that he would make was, Allahumma inna nas'aluka fi safarina hadha al-birra wa taqwa. Oh Allah, in this journey of mine, I am leaving my home, I am leaving my community, I am leaving Al-Madinah to Munawwara. I have no control of the environment beyond the borders of my home. So, oh Allah, I ask you the dua that Rasulullah would make. As'aluka fi safarina hadha, in the safar of mine, in this journey of mine, in this trip of mine, I ask you, Allah, al-birr, righteousness. And number two, taqwa. We spoke about the state of taqwa. Keep me in the state of Allah consciousness. A very important dua that we should make. Another important aspect with regards to remaining in the state of consciousness and avoid slipping into a state of ghafla, heedlessness and forgetfulness, is we must spend moments of solitude with Allah, especially during this period. You have the time in the morning, especially in the morning, especially if you start off your morning by energizing yourself spiritually, it will remain with you and it transcends in everything that you do throughout the day. Spend your day or start your day with salah. Remain in the dhikr of Allah. Recite Quran wherever you may be. Whether you are traveling to Haramain Sharifain, may Allah accept the umrah of all those who will be performing umrah. One of the best things to do during this period of the year and during this time of the year, everyone feels we need to travel, we must travel. Travel to Al-Haramain Al-Sharifain. Travel to Al-Aqsa. Travel to these places where you know that the environment will look after your iman. You do not have to take the responsibility. Iman. Otherwise, we all know, for every person, no matter what level of religiosity and piety you may be on, it's difficult to look after your iman in an environment that is promoting sin and vice. So rather go to an environment where the environment will look after your iman. And you are not left with the responsibility of protecting your iman. You come back feeling good. You start the new year feeling good. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, what is the sign of a true believer? How do I gauge the genuineness of my iman? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you can gauge your genuineness of your iman. How? If you feel bad after doing something bad, and you feel good after doing something good. Allah allowed you to wake up in the morning as early as it was to attend the Fajr prayer in the masjid. Then Allah gave you the ability to do some good, and you feel good in it. And you don't develop a sense of superiority over others. No, but you just feel good about it. And when you do something wrong, misuse of the gaze, or you spoke a lie, or you engaged in backbiting, or whatever it may be, whatever it may be, you hurt the feelings of the next person and you feel bad after doing so, Rasulullah says that's a sign of iman. That's a sign of iman. So moments of dhikr with Allah. This is very important. Every day we should have moments of solitude with Allah. Al-khalwa ma'allah, al-khalwa ma'allah. In those moments of solitude, when you are immersed in the dhikr of Allah, making the tasbih of Allah, thinking of Allah's mercy over you, reciting the Quran, making dua, Allah ignites a special nur in your heart. That nur that remains within your heart, that is the sensor. You know, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, when the Sahaba asked him, how do I know something is evil, something is bad? There's no one I can consult with. On the spot, something is presented to me. How do I know it's good or it's bad? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, al-ithmu ma haka fi nafsik wa karihta yattali alayhi nas. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you have a sensor in your heart. Right? And when you feel uncomfortable, when you feel uncomfortable, you're in an environment and you just don't feel right, Rasulullah says it's bad. Get out of there. That's it. That's not good for you. It tugs on your conscience. You don't feel comfortable in that place, in that environment, because of the music, or because of the immorality, or because of the flagrant display of the disobedience of Allah. You just don't feel right sitting there, eating there, being there. Rasulullah says that's bad for you. Now that sensor, to keep that sensor, you know, in optimum working condition, that sensor can sense what's good and what's bad. You must spend moments of solitude with Allah. Those moments of solitude with Allah, those moments are what energize, strengthen, and keep that sensor in its optimum working condition. Tilawah of the Quran is so important. I leave you with a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He gave the Sahaba this advice. He first said to them that try not to sit on street corners. Sahaba would congregate on street corners to socialize, chat, and speak about events of the day and so on and so forth. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, I've noticed this amongst the Sahaba, try not to do this. They said, O Nabi of Allah, this is something we have to do. We can't do without it. It gives us an opportunity to get together. Many of us will be visiting public spaces and so on and so forth. So how do we behave in these public spaces? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, fine. If you must socialize in these public spaces, on street corners and so on and so forth, Rasulullah says, then fulfill the rights of those places. What are the rights, O Rasul of Allah? Rasulullah says, number one, ghaddul basar, guard your gaze. Guard your gaze. There'll be many sweets on display, some wrapped, some unwrapped. Ghaddul basar, guard your gaze, Rasulullah says, look after your gaze. And if you can't, then you shouldn't be there. If you know I cannot control my gaze, then you shouldn't be in that environment. Number one. Number two, our Rasulullah says, kafful adha. Kafful adha, don't cause inconvenience to anyone. Restrain your harm from anyone. Meaning, character. Show your character as a Muslim. Show your character, what Islam teaches you to do. And what role you play in a public space as a Muslim. Number three, Rasulullah says, Raddu Salam. Raddu Salam, respond to the salam, the greeting that somebody offers you. What does this mean? Maintain your identity as a Muslim. Maintain your identity in a Muslim. One of the most effective ways of avoiding or to avoid slipping into ghafla is to maintain your identity as a Muslim. Allahu Akbar. Maintaining your identity as a Muslim acts as a barrier between you and falling into and slipping into a state of ghafla at that particular state. Well, amr bil ma'roof. Rasulullah says another thing. Command people to do good. It's the time of salah. Wherever you may be, wherever you are, tell the people, come, let us go and offer salah. One day this one brother, he was traveling with his friends. And they were musafir. Every time they were offering salah, he was not performing salah with them. So they asked him, why are you not offering salah with us? They said, Maulana said, when you travel, salah is maaf. They said, no, he said salah is half. So Allah has given us the concession. Allah has given us the concession. Allah has created ease for us. Let us ensure that we are offering our salah on time, wherever you are, even in that public space. Rasulullah is giving them the etiquettes of the public space. In that public space, the entire earth, Rasulullah said, has been made a masjid for me. Wherever you are, offer your salah. Wa nahi anil munkar. Stop people from doing evil. And the best example we have is our brave Muslim brother Ahmad al-Ahmad. The shooting that took place, the mass killing that took place on Bondi Beach in Australia. Subhanallah. Look at what Islam teaches us and how we should behave. There was evil taking place in that public space and he was there. And his Allah consciousness allowed him to act the way he acted. And through that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored him in this dunya and akhirah. And through that act of his, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prevented the killing of so many more innocent lives. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the understanding. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us in the state of Allah consciousness. And make it easy for us to avoid slipping into a state of ghaflah. The nikah parties can come forward, inshallah.